on SEN Test Cricket. The Ashes.
The Ashes summer of 21-22 gets underway as Stark roars in and bowls to Burns. He's bowled in first ball! Mitch Stark serves notice! And Ashes can be defined by the first delivery. And Stark has bowled Burns on the leg stump around his pads.
That's the anti-Steve Harmison ball. That's the complete opposite.
It's the fourth time it's happened in Ashes cricket where there's been a wicket in the first ball of the Test match. The most recent time was 1936.
It was an unbelievable start, wasn't it? A dramatic start. I don't think I've seen Mitchell Stark react like that before for a wicket that he's taken. And it's going to go down in Ashes folklore, isn't it?
On the money, I guess, first up, which is what we're trying to do. So nice to see it swing and to kickstart an Ashes series. Yeah, I think there was a fair few emotions going around. And yeah, nice to get that first one under the way. And I think we've had a pretty decent day.
A ball that instantly took its place in Ashes folklore. A once in 85-year delivery from Mitch Stark that brought the summer to life. How far-reaching can a singular moment prove across the course of a series? Cummins bowls, edge from Stokes, and he's caught at third slip. Pat Cummins strikes.
Cummins is going to go over the wicket this time to Hamid. He's ready for him now, three slips.
And he edges to one of them, and Steve Smith takes the catch.
Warner and Smith in the slips. The captain Cummins on the way, bowls to Robertson, yet to get off the mark. Edge to gone!
That is fabulous bowling from Pat Cummins.
Pat Cummins giving every effort. He dug it in short. It popped up off the glove. And he's caught in close at short leg. Rocks on strike. Cummins short. He pulls almost blindly. In the air. Down to fine leg.
He's done it again.
And Hazelwood has repeated the dose. Taken a magnificent catch. And Pat Cummins, all the glory of being captain of Australia, hasn't changed too much at all. A five for him, debut as captain.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy. It's been a good start to my captaincy stint. Everything went to plan. I thought I was really proud of not only how everyone bowled, but I thought everyone stayed really composed. It's a long summer, but I got off to a really good start.
Perfect Pat in every way. Patrick Cummins stars with the ball and makes the right calls as skipper to give his team a huge advantage. But can England's bowlers fight back on day two?
I'm really cranky about the fact that it's the second year in a row we're missing a test, but there's really no one to blame, which makes it really hard. It'd be easier if there was someone to blame, but it's just circumstances.
I've said very clearly to Cricket Australia, you know, this is your opportunity to make history. We've never had an Ashes test in Tasmania, and Ashes cricket is the biggest travelling show in the world.
I've spoken to Nick Hockley and said, there's a spare pitch there. If any of the states got into trouble with a border closure, we're happy to help out.
We're happy to help cricket in any way we can. We've made it clear to them we're happy to participate if that's what works for them. And, you know, certainly the SCG would be ready for it.
We know where it started, but it's unclear where it will all conclude. Which state will win the right to host the fifth test and bring the Ashes to its conclusion? Cricket Australia Chief Executive Nick Hockley joins us. This is SEN Test Cricket.
The Ashes on SEN. For Host Plus, the industry super fund for all Australians. That's a plus.
England won the tour, selected to bat. It will be recounted for generations to come. All out for 147. And as if the cricketing gods said, well, how much more could we give you on the opening day? The rain and the lights took toll. And that was it from tea onwards. So all eyes to the skies in Brisbane today. They're sunny to start with. There are more storms in the afternoon. Australia will bat and see what it's all worth. There's a certain path here for Australia that's well trod. Is that to be, or can England's seamers fight back? SEN Test Cricket, day two at the Gabba. Gerard Whateley with you. Anthony Hudson is with me. Hutto, our cup is full after two sessions of cricket.
We needed the extra time. Gerard, good morning, everyone. We needed that time just to contemplate what had happened in those first two sessions. Going back to England's decision to leave Broad out, I think there's still plenty of Englishmen and women thinking about that, their decision to bat, not bowl. Stark getting that first wicket. Warnie still saying the ball didn't swing. Pat Cummins as the captain. Has he got a pimple? Has he got something wrong with him, Pat Cummins? Because it doesn't seem like it. And then the response. My biggest question coming here today was whether Athers would actually still be in Australia or not. But I've had a look down the line. I've seen him in his hotel in Bondi, so I think we're going to talk to him shortly.
So the most prophetic words for openers yesterday was when Athers said, it's that historical thread. That's what makes the Ashes special. And Mike Atherton, the historical thread ran so richly through yesterday. And I suspect for as long as we have our collective memories, we will think back to the events right at the start. Welcome.
Yeah, what a day. St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it? Perfect day for Australia's new captain. A 5 on his first outing, and contrast that with Joe Root, who stood at the toss and must have hesitated before saying he'd bat. Then a 9-ball duck for him. So couldn't have gone any worse for Joe Root. Couldn't have gone any better for Pat Cummins. A pretty depressing view of things from England overnight. We're probably a glass half full nation anyway, or half empty, whichever way you want to look at it. But I think most English people probably stuck around for about 5 minutes, watched Rory Burns trudge off, and then went to bed.
It was a bit early for you to go to bed, wasn't it?
Simon Kadich, the national mood in Australia and from the team itself, it couldn't be more contrasting with that, could it? Hello.
Good morning to everyone. I mean, we're on a high at the moment, obviously winning the T20 World Cup for the first time. A number of those players are involved in this Ashes series, and then to start the way they did yesterday, particularly under a new captain, and for him to lead the charge with 5 wickets and marshal the troops beautifully as a leader, it couldn't have gone any better. And I think the challenge now is to be able to back that up, because we saw last summer, I think everyone thought Australia would steamroll India after they nailed them for 30-odd in Adelaide in that test match, and then India go on to win the series without their skipper Virat Kohli. So England have got to make sure they back up today and keep believing. But what we saw yesterday from their batting lineup, they've got a lot of work to do because they didn't adjust to the conditions. There is inexperience there in Australian conditions, and they didn't handle what was presented to them at the Gabba.
Is there a singular image or a singular moment that will live with you from that opening day of play?
Oh, look, I think obviously, you know, Mitchell Stark getting that wicket first ball stands out. But I think the other thing was I just think the composure for Pat Cummins to rip him off after a couple of overs and to say, no, I'm coming on to bowl to Joe Root, and to send a message to the England camp. They know who Joe Root least likes facing, and that's Pat Cummins. Hazelwood might have knocked him over, but I think that sent a message to the England skipper that I think Australia are going to target him. He's got a target on his back for the rest of the summer now. They know that when he fires, England win. His record suggests that. I think when he's got his 23 test tons, 17 of them have resulted in victories. 5 have been draws. And the only time they've lost when he's got a test 100 was in Lords this year in 2021 against India. So they know how big a wicket that is, and they cut him down yesterday, and that'll go a long way to Australia being able to win this test match.
Athers, the biggest question that sits over the series today is that it? Does that set a tone which is irreversible, inescapable, or does the fight back happen immediately? Or even if it doesn't happen at the Gabba, is this team made of enough? Is this travelling team made of enough that they might be able to claw their way back in elsewhere? Or are we going to look back and go, day one at the Gabba set a tone which ran the course?
Well, they've got some characters in there who you cannot discount when you look at what Ben Stokes has done before, for example, not just in Ashes Test matches, but in general. Joe Root, who has been in fabulous form. I mean, he's approaching the end of this calendar year with a chance to overtake Mohammad Yusuf as the top run scorer ever in a calendar year. So you can't just discount him after 1 9-ball duck, and then Broad and Anderson, two champion cricketers, albeit coming to the back end of their days. But it was a day that would have worried England's coaching staff watching on, because this is a pretty vulnerable batting lineup. It's been held together this year by Joe Root. You know, a couple of double hundreds in Sri Lanka at the start of the year, couple of hundreds against India, fabulous hundreds in the summer. But really, he's been carrying the batting. There was some ridiculous statistic at the start of the year in Sri Lanka and India where Root had scored like 60 or 70% of England's runs, something ridiculous. And, you know, there are vulnerabilities there. They've been searching for an opening pairing. This was the first time that Burns and Hamid had walked out together. They'd gone with Sibley. They'd backed Sibley for a long time. Milan is only really a recent recall to the England team. So they've been searching around for a top order stability. And there are lots of vulnerabilities in that batting lineup. And the way that Australia unlocked the batting yesterday, I think will have really worried England's coaching staff looking on. So it wasn't a good sign for what's to come.
The early correspondence, Athers is 100% correct. My England mates on the WhatsApp group signed off early and went to bed. 0433 98 11 16. Is the Australian mood is interesting. So the first two calls we took in the rain break yesterday, Adrian lamented the lack of a contest and no appetite for the summer if England is going to wilt. And Janine countered that by going, when did we become so miserable that the success of the national cricket team wasn't the source of celebration, Kat? So they're an interesting team. That I feel like it's the only national team who gets penalised for winning. Is there somehow a craving for a contest that's not there in a Bledisloe Cup? Is Australia would crave the Wallabies whacking New Zealand, but it just can't happen. But the cricket team, it has to be a contest for it to be interesting.
Yeah, it's absolutely spot on, and it happened a lot. I guess I know during my playing days with the Australian team, when we were so dominant through that period, there was a period there where people got bored with the results because we were winning comfortably and there wasn't a contest. So I think I get where that comes from. But at the same time, you know, when we have lost recent series, they've been up in arms about us not being as good as we used to be. And that's where it's that double-edged sword. But I think it's only one day, as Mike rightly said. You know, England have got too many characters in this squad who have played some fantastic test cricket and are legends of England cricket in a way. He pointed out four of them yesterday, and there might be a couple that emerge on this tour. I was really impressed with young Hamid yesterday. He applied himself really well, just didn't start again after the break, and that's something you see from young players at times. You know, they don't reassess and have to start again. Sparted a ball, nicked it. Young Pope looked good. And then Butler's innings was great for him because he hasn't had a great record against Australia, averaging about 20. But the way he went about it yesterday showed that he's going to take the game on much like Adam Gilchrist used to. And if he does transfer that to test cricket, what he does in white ball cricket, he could change the game for England because he's a wonderful ball striker. So there were glimpses. They just didn't do the basics for long enough yesterday, which is partnerships. And when they did get a partnership, they didn't make it a big one. So it's only one day of test cricket. It can change quickly. And we saw that last summer with the Indian series. So I think there's still a lot to be played out.
We'll look forward to day two shortly because England's seamers against Australia's batsmen. There's a lot of forecasting and assuming going on at the moment. We'll find out, I suppose, over the first 4 hours of the day's play how that looks. The toss and just the history that's linked into it, Athers, as you spoke about it leading up and in real time and now in retrospect. And it is, I guess it's the glory of cricket. It is unique. It's almost the confines sometimes of history. Was it the ghosts of Hutton and Hussain that meant Joe Root couldn't do what must have been in his heart to win the toss and bowl?
Absolutely. I don't think you can avoid that conclusion. I mean, Hutton's a long, long time ago, of course. You're talking almost, 60 years ago when he put Australia in and Australia got 600, won by an innings. And famously, he said at the end of that game that he wanted to throw himself in the Brisbane River. But Hussain, although it was 20 years ago, it's very much in the consciousness because Nasser is a big figure in English cricket, and he's on the Sky broadcast with me every summer, and we're constantly taking the mickey out of him for that day at the Gabba. So it's there. People know about it. Joe Root will know about it. He will have known that Nasser put Australia in, albeit very different circumstances. It was a bright, sunny day. I was there that day at the Gabba, and I remember sitting on the boundary edge. I was with Mark Nicholas, actually, who was fronting Nine's coverage then. And the toss, the coin went up, and we saw, Joe Root had won it, NASA had won it, and we looked at each other and said, thank God for that. And then he put them in. We couldn't quite believe it. It was a bright, sunny day and a good-looking pitch. And, of course, 360 for two at the end of that day. So that will have definitely been in Joe Root's mind. I mean, the Gabba does funny things to England's English captains. I reckon in any other circumstances, a non-Ashes test match on a morning like that with a green-tinged pitch and dark, gloomy clouds overhead with the bowlers at his disposal, he would have certainly bowled. But because of what's happened in the past, and, you know, it's that psychology that I touched on yesterday. If a captain puts a side in and it goes badly, you get hammered for it. But if you bat and you get rolled over, people focus on the batting frailties, not the decision of the captain at the toss. So it's a curious psychology, really. And all that would have weighed on Joe Root yesterday. And I have no doubt that those historical precedents were the reason why he chose to bat first. Now, you know, you have to withhold judgment a bit. I mean, he said at the toss, this pitch will quicken up, it'll dent, it'll quicken up, it'll become tricky to bat on. And that has to play out yet. I think it was Kat who said yesterday, you know, the Gabba pitch quickens up. And if it dents, it can be tricky. So we'll wait and see. But all you can say is on yesterday's evidence, there was certainly enough movement to suggest that it would have been a good day to bowl.
And English captains who make ducks first up. Ath, as your mind was drawn to this and the recent examples in your piece in the Times today.
Yeah, Flintoff 06-07, Strauss 2010-11, although he got runs in the second innings. And of course, those two captains then went on very divergent paths. Flintoff whitewashed in 06-07 and Strauss, one of the great English victories, really, winning three test matches by an innings in Australia, unprecedented. So whichever of those paths Joe will go on remains to be seen.
It makes it high stakes, Kat, doesn't it, for the figurehead, the captain, the touring captain of England?
Well, it felt like he couldn't win either way yesterday, because the other side of it with the young batting lineup is that, you know, we talk about the psyche as a captain. You're there to back your players up and to give them belief that they're good enough at this level. And if he had said, oh, we're going to bowl, it sort of sends a message to the batting group that he doesn't think they're capable of handling those conditions. And we've seen that a lot from the West Indian teams recently. They always bowl first because they know that if it's tricky, they're going to get bowled out. So I think he sent a strong message to his group that we've got to get through this. The thing is, there's a difference between getting 270 on day one at the Gabba and getting 147. If England had been able to eke out 270, they're in the contest. Because we know when we watch Shield games here, if you get that in the first innings when it's slower and then it quickens up day two and you bowl well, you can knock teams over for well under that. And that'll be the interesting thing about how today plays out. The challenge for Root and his bowlers today is to not go chasing the test, to get back into it quickly. Because that, if that happens, then what will happen is David Warner or Labuschagne or Smith, the danger men for Australia, will start and get going, and then they'll be unstoppable and Australia will get a good lead. And then by the time England come back out again there, it'll be a different wicket and they'll be under pressure.
And the first day of Pat Cummins as captain, so there were images. He chose a good one, which was when he brought himself onto bowl and then his joy, or the joy of his teammates actually, when he took the fiver. And then I loved the image during the rain delay, sitting there with Steve Smith and they're doing the cryptic crossword and the like. He described it as a dream start, and it was every inch of that.
I love how relaxed these guys are these days. I can't imagine that being the case back in the day, because I just think, you know, the way they are, it seems like they've got that good balance. And Pat Cummins strikes me as that person with the way his career's unfolded, that he's got really good balance to his life, and he's not just consumed by the game. And I think that's going to be really important for him as a leader, to be able to have that, you know, that break from the captaincy and be able to go home and just switch off from it all, because it is an all-consuming job from those that you speak to and have been in it for a number of years. So I think that was a great reflection or a great indication that, you know, both he and Smith can sit there and do a Sudoku or whatever they were doing, crossword, and just enjoy the moment and move on to the next challenge.
Athas, I hadn't thought to look back at your first day as captain, so forgive me if I'm stirring anything, but could you contrast your first day and the job to Pat's?
I'm trying to remember now. Edgbaston 1993, long time ago. I'll tell you how long ago it was. Feels such a different time. I remember walking out with AB. AB was Australia's captain. And we went out for the toss. And it was just the two of us. There was no cameras around. And you look at the numbers of people around now at the toss. It's like an army of people out there. Radio, TV, cameras everywhere. And I remember it was just me and AB. And I think I won the toss. I got 70, I think, before getting bowled by Pistol. I got a grubber from Pistol that... that bowled me at Edgbaston. But the game didn't end well. We lost the match and then won the next one, which was good. But, yeah, tricky start.
Pat Cummins would be feeling pretty good about it all today. As he mentioned, there'll be harder days, and who's to say what happens this morning. But, yeah, he described it as the dream start.
I'll be really looking forward to, you know, the way Root handles things today, thinking about 4 years ago. If you remember at the start of that series, he was very defensive with David Warner. You know, they almost put a deep point back right at the start of the innings. And, of course, England's tactics to Steve Smith just haven't worked for the last couple of Ashes series when Smith is averaging 100 and God knows how many. England generally have just tried to shove the ball wide of off stump to Smith, and that hasn't worked. So there are lots of areas of interest to look for today. For Joe Root in the field as well.
We'll delve a little further next. Our pre-game show is for the all-new Isuzu MU-X for openers with Mike Atherton and Simon Kadich to set us up for day two at the Gabba. The weather forecasts for Rainbird, smarter irrigation, the intelligent use of water, heading for a top of 31, so it'll be muggy. It's 26 already. Fine conditions through at the moment to 2 o'clock when there's the chance of storms intermittently throughout the afternoon. Not quite as threatening as yesterday's forecast, but let's wait to see how it unfolds. Certainly the first session of play will be uninterrupted. And that's in store for you on SEN Test Cricket for Host Plus. That's a plus.
The Ashes on SEN for Henley Everyday Advantage. We don't hide our prices. And Host Plus, the industry super fund for all Australians. The SEN Ashes pre-match for the all-new 7-seat Isuzu MU-X Extraordinary.
Australia's turn to bat today, having rolled England for 147. Ryan in Caulfield has text through. Gents, great day by Australia yesterday, but I'm nervous. Had a dream of 6 for 90 at lunch. Lucky I'm not superstitious. Our experts are here for Anaconda. Play more, pay less with Anaconda's 10% price beat guarantee. Simon Kadich, how confident should Australia be in its batting lineup?
Well, when you look at the numbers, in particular Warner, Labuschagne and Smith and what they average at the Gabba, you should feel confident. But this is a different test match, so they have to start again. And I think the important thing will be how they weather that new ball. There will be some movement. There will be some extra pace and bounce today. I think yesterday showed it was quite a slow, easy pace wicket, but today it generally quickens up once it's lost that little bit of moisture on the top of it. So it'd be interesting to see whether the sun's out today compared to yesterday where it was probably a little bit cloudier. But I think those three wickets are the crucial ones for England if they want to get back into this test match. If they can keep all those three under sort of 20 or 30 runs each, then there's a chance they can. But if they don't and one or two of those guys get in and dig in and get a big score, which they are. I mean, Marcus Labuschagne averages 99.75 at the Gabba. He's had a great start to the Shield summer, averaging about 65. You know, Davey Warner averages 61 at the Gabba. And Steve Smith, you know, he's got an amazing record against England and Australia, averages 65. But at the Gabba, he averages just under 61 as well. So they're crucial wickets for England. And it'll be a challenge for them to nullify all three of them at once.
Athers, where's the threat? Is it the form of Ollie Robinson and memories of the test at Headingley against India where he comes away as man of the match and leads the team to an innings victory?
Yeah, he burst onto the scene last summer, really. He's had an exceptional record in the county championship in the last 4 or 5 years where he's taken his wickets at something ridiculous like 16 or 17 for Sussex. He's been by far the most outstanding bowler in the county championship, so he got his chance last summer. It was an up and down summer for him, must be said, because after his first test, of course, people went trawling through his social media footprint and found some fairly awful tweets from many years ago. So then he was carpeted and missed the test match, but came back actually, and the way he came back suggested something of his character, because that was a very difficult time for him when this story broke, and for, you know, a lesser character, it might have really affected them. But he came back bowl really well against India. He looks a likely bowler to me in Test cricket. He's quite tall. There's a slight similarity to Josh Hazlewood in his action and his delivery. I don't think he's quite as sharp as Hazlewood, but he's tall. He's at the batsman usually. He doesn't leave off stump very readily, and he gets a bit of movement. And he's quite an intelligent fast bowler. And he's one of those fast bowlers who doesn't, if you ask him, as the journalists often do before a test match, how are you going to get, you know, Smith or Kohli out? He's quite happy to talk up his plans. He did that last year with Kohli, and it takes quite a brave bowler to do that. And the journalists were asking him ahead of the Ashes about Steve Smith, and he said he's going to, you know, mess around with his angles on the crease, and he'll be good enough for Smith. We shall wait and see. But, you know, he's going to be a threat, I think. He's a good bowler. Wokes is a very experienced cricketer now. He's ultra reliable, really. He's probably not quite got the versatility and skill that Anderson has, but Joe Root can rely on him. He'll probably throw it to Wokes first up, I would have thought, given the importance of the day and the importance of the start after yesterday's start, because he'll think that Wokes is absolutely reliable. And Wood, when he gets his chance, he's going to be the quickest bowler on either side. He's going to be quicker, I think, than any of Australia's bowlers, albeit a different trajectory. He's quite short and skiddy, so sometimes it might not feel like there's the threat of a Jofra Archer, for example, who's a bit more over the top and gets that nasty bounce, his bounces nip back at the right-handers. So those three, you know, will carry some threat in the absence of Broad and Anderson. And then you've got Stokes, of course, and Leach. But he'll be hoping that wickets tumble before he has to throw the ball to Jack Leach.
And the figure of Steve Smith. So he's been the man of the series in each of the past two Ashes. Australia holds the urn almost singularly because of his batting deeds that you saw firsthand, Mike. Is how pivotal a figure does he shape as? By the end of your last Ashes season, it felt like there was just gallows humour in trying to figure out how to get him out.
Absolutely. It's felt like that for the last two Ashes series, actually. In the 2019 summer, we did a little segment on Sky where we had David Lloyd, who, you know, is full of good humour, just trawling around London asking random people, how do you get Steve Smith out? Because nobody had a clue, really. The way that England have gone, as I said just before the break, is to try and, because they know he's very strong through the leg side and off his pads, they've tried to hide the ball outside off stump. I'm just not sure about that policy and that strategy. Because you're immediately taking so many dismissals out of the equation. I'd like to see England target the stumps a little bit more. I'm not saying bowl on middle and leg or anything, but I'd like to see them hone in on off stump at the start of Smith's innings. And you can have fielders on the leg side. You know, you can counterintuitively say to the bowlers, well, look, I want you bowling off stump, but I'm going to give you protection on the leg side, because we know that Smith gets right across to off stump with that back leg and will work the ball through the onside. But if you just bowl a foot, 2 foot wide of off stump, you're taking LB out, you're taking bowled out. And I'm just not, that strategy hasn't worked for sure. Look at Smith's record against England. So I'm hoping that they'll come up with something different this time.
Mike, Simon, enjoy the morning. We'll talk to you both as we go through.
Thanks, Jared.
Cheers.
Mike Atherton and Simon Kadditch for openers on SEN Test Cricket on our pre-game show for the all-new Isuzu MUX.